Have you guys ever had like a close friend that, you know, their family kind of became like part of your family? Kind of you became as close with their family, and you even called, like, you know, your best friend, you know, called his mom, stuff like that. So in college, I was on a trio. And we traveled, and it was a mixed trio, so it was me and two ladies, and we sang Beyond the Cross that was played today. So it's just all just been kind of flooding back. And the sound man was Jason Bell, and he was my best friend. So he and I were, it was us two guys against the two girls. It wasn't against, but it became against after a while, after a long time on the road together. And so So being as Pastor Merrick is his father-in-law, I don't know. I just, Pastor Merrick is kind of close to me, and like subconsciously or something, you know. It's just, I have this connection to him, and it's like, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because you were like my adopted in-laws or something. So anyway, just wanted to let you know, I love you, appreciate you. And again, thank you for being here. So, amen. Same here. So, let's turn to the book of Philippians. Okay. Philippians chapter 4. It's always good to start on a really awkward level. Yeah, it's only up from here, right? Lord willing. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start off in verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I love you so much. Lord, I do thank you for this church, and for whatever the reason is, Lord, they are special to us. And I do thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, and for just, Lord, for being a blessing to these missionaries. And God, I pray today that, Lord, you will help me, Lord, to be a blessing and a help and response. And Lord, I do pray that if there's anybody here this morning that does not know for sure that if they died, they would go to heaven, God, I pray today that this morning they would get that taken care of. Most important than anything, that they would leave today knowing for sure that heaven is their home. God, I love you and pray that you'll work today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to, I tend to be just a very transparent person. I don't embarrass very easily. And so I'm just going to give you guys a bit of the behind the scenes of what it's like to be a missionary. Because a lot of what people see is the dramatic side of things. They see the videos, and they see people getting saved, and, you know, work starting, and work being done, and they hear all that, and there's a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that kind of it's a little more on the difficult side. So when I surrendered to go to Guam when I was 16, we were stationed on Guam from 93 to 95. And I developed a love for the Chamorro culture there, and for the people, and surrendered to go to Guam when I was 16. And from there, it began to get into the realistic side of things. After we graduated college, we went up to New Hampshire, and I did an internship there for a church. And then in 2007, we were ready to get started. So what required is you had to go over to the field on what's called a survey trip, and you have to see your field and see and kind of plan where you're going to start a church. And initially, my plan was to start a church outside the Air Force Base because I had lived on the Air Force Base. And I thought, you know, having a church right outside the Air Force Base would be great. And I was staying with, he was my Sunday school teacher from way back in the day, and now he was the pastor. And he's a Chamorro. And so we were staying in his house, and he said, you know, would you mind praying about maybe starting a church for my people? He said, the military have ministries that would reach the military all around the world, but there's nobody right now that's reaching my people. And it was very obvious what the Lord had worked in my heart that time. And so we surrendered to start a church down on the south side of the island to reach the people there. So then, now that we had a location nailed down, we had to figure out how much it was going to cost to live there. And so a missionary will generally go over on their survey trip, and they will check out what it, you know, how much it costs to rent a building, how much it costs to rent a house or buy a house if that's possible, and all the same things. Now, you have to understand, for missionaries, we have to find a place to live as well as a separate place to have church, and that's all going to be on the missionary. And it's because we're starting off, there's, you know, we don't have people that are giving tithes and offerings. It's all on us. And so you have to have enough to live and to have ministry. And so you find out what utilities are going to be, and then you plan that. You find out what groceries are going to be about a month, and then you budget that. And you do all the same things, and then you got to take into account, well, when you start a church, you're going to need chairs. You're going to need pews. You're going to need songbooks. You're going to need music. You're going to need all these different things, a pulpit, and all these things that have to go into that you're going to have to budget for. And so let's just round it out and say, so just an even $5,000 a month is what's going to be necessary. Well, then now you have to make phone calls. And this is the least favorite part of mine. To being a missionary is calling pastors on the phone. Every once in a while, you'll call a pastor and you can't get a hold of each other, and you'll text back and forth, and the texts never go through, whatever the thing is. But most of the time, you'll call 10 to 12 different churches. You'll have a list of all these independent Baptist churches because you want to go to churches that believe the same way you do. And so you have to find a list of churches that believe the same way you do, which is not an easy task. And then you call these churches and try to schedule people. And so finally, after calling who knows how many people, say 10 to 12 people, you'll get a hold of somebody on the phone. Then you have to make sure that you have the same time period available where you can schedule a meeting. And sometimes the pastor will be like, you know, we're not scheduling missionaries right now. And so those 10, 12 calls, you missed. So you start again until you get a pastor on the phone, and then you get a meeting scheduled and say, okay, we'll have you in on this Sunday night or this Wednesday night or this Sunday morning. And, you know, you spend all day making phone calls and leaving messages and getting on email and sending out your packet of information to different people, and then they'll call you back. And it's a whole work to it each day, and it's a slog. And so you get a hold of people, and calling pastors from Guam is even worse because we're 16 hours ahead of y'all. So on Guam right now, let's see, it's almost 12. So it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning there on Guam. And so for me to call pastors in the States, I would start at midnight because it would be 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, when pastors are starting to get into the office. So you start at midnight, call, and probably stay up for 3 hours, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning, making phone calls. Found out that I'm not as young as I used to think I was. And it's harder to stay up that late. I think I might have fallen asleep on the phone with pastors a couple times. But so you schedule meetings and you get your calendar full. And then it's time to go out on the meeting. And you go to a church, and most of the time when you're starting off, your kids are really little. We had just the boys when we started, and they were like 3 and 4 years old. And, we went to Bible college, and our missions teacher told us, you make sure your kids are well-behaved. Because if you have wild kids, nobody wants to put up with wild, unbehaved kids in the church, and you can lose support if your kids are misbehaved. And so we have this in our mind, and we're like, oh, man, our kids need to be perfect. And so, you know, we're in the church, in the first church we were at, the very first church, we're sitting down to lunch with the pastor, and my son is over here in his little, you know, booster seat at the table, and he starts singing, shake, 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 shake your, and he continues on, I will not go into, but he said exactly everything, and I'm just sitting here like, what? Where did he learn this music? And my wife's like, it's your brother. And so, you know, my brother's a bad influence. And so I was like, sure enough, well, they never did take us on for support, so I blame my son. But no, they weren't able to. And so you go to a church, and they're not able to take you on for support. So all the phone calls to finally get the meeting, and then you go to the meeting, and they're not able to support you. But then every once in a while, you'll go to a church, and they're like, okay, we're going to take you on for support. And oftentimes it's $50 a month. That's been the average, 50. And so you leave from that church and you're like, praise the Lord, we now have $50 a month for income towards $5,000 a month that we need. So we're going to have to do this a lot more times. And then, you know, it's grown, and average, you know, maybe now is about $100 a month that churches will support you for. And I say all that to say this. Support of missionaries and giving to missions is it's a necessity. It's something that churches, that missionaries need. So that's why we do deputation. That's why we go to churches and we try to convey the burden to you, to show you this is where we're trying to go. These are the people we're trying to reach. We'd really love for you guys to get behind us and support us, and help us to get there. And that's the way I saw it for the longest time. I saw it as the church would begin to support you, and now their funds are helping you to get to the field. And it was a wrong view of supporting churches. And I always viewed, you know, my desire is to get to the field. I have people there that we're trying to reach, trying to serve the Lord there on Guam. And so as a church takes you on for support, I looked at it as support, where they're pushing you and doing everything to help you get to the field. And that's a wrong view. I was reading this here in Philippians chapter 4, and I'll show you when we get to it. Philippians 4, verse 15 says, now ye Philippians know, Paul is talking to the Philippians, and he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He said, nobody sent messages, no emails, no texts. Nobody communicated with me and said, Paul, is there anything you need? What do you need to get to the next place? Hey, Paul, are you short on some things? Is there any way that we can help you get to where you're going? Nobody. Nobody asked. Nobody communicated. But you guys did. You were the only ones that did. Nobody communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So basically, there was communication that went on between Paul and the Philippians, because they wrote to him and said, Paul, what do you need? And so he replied and obviously told them some of the things that were needed, because they sent once and again unto his necessities. And so they sent some of the things that he needed. So he replied to them. Now here's the thing. He says, not because I desire a gift. He says, I didn't respond to you and tell you, hey, since you asked, here are some of the things that we would really like to have to get to our place. I didn't tell you what we needed because I wanted your stuff. But I'll tell you, just again, from complete transparency, when you're over on the field and you're across the ocean and you're by yourself as a family, and everything is very tight, And a church contacts you and emails you and says, hey, brother, just letting you know, you guys are the missionary of the week, or whatever it is, or hey, thought about you in my devotions today. Just, is there anything that we can send to help you out? It's always in the most perfect time. Because it's like, we didn't plan on it, but we had flat tires this week. And the tires were way more than we expected and had to get them on. And so we're behind and we have this stuff set up. Could you help out with this? And so we're able to respond and send. And so it's a huge help whenever that happens. But Paul says, you know, I didn't tell you what I needed with an attitude of, oh, okay. Well, here's a church that's wanting to be a blessing. I like to be blessed. Here's an opportunity to get some stuff. I didn't look at it as an opportunity to get your stuff. Well, didn't the stuff wasn't the important thing. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And the first two words there, the I desire, is what gripped my heart, because I had, and again, I'm just being completely transparent. This is a fault of my own. I viewed supporting churches as income. You guys supporting us each month is what helped us to get to Guam, helped us to be on the field. And it was a necessity, which is what it is. But it's so much more than that. He said, I have a desire towards you, which means that there's a relationship here. There's a connection between you and me. And so now I have a desire for you. See, you're not going to have a desire for just some stranger off the street. You know, you're not going to see somebody walking down the street and be like, hey, I have a desire for you. They're going to run away much faster because that's really awkward to yell at somebody. Now, I mean, honestly, as Christians, we should have a desire that they get saved. And so we have a desire towards them that way. But we're not going to be yelling somebody and saying, you know, I really have a desire for you. That's it's awkward. But when you come to a church that's connected to you, a church that has already given and is a part of your ministry, it's easy for us to come and say, I have a desire for you, Calvary Baptist Church. I'm sorry that I viewed you as income, as support. But instead, it's my perspective has changed. And now I understand that there's this connection between us. Because you guys have gotten on board and have sent to our necessities once and again, faithful for each month. There's now a connection, and the reason that you give is because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And that's thrilling to me. That's so much more deep. It's so much more involved because it's no longer me. It's now us together. Instead of you pushing, it's now us grabbing arm in arm saying, let's reach Guam together. And the great thing is that the Bible says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The word account there is the Greek word meaning logos or log, like an account, a record that's being kept. If you guys have ever, you know, played games before where you have two different teams and you keep track of the score, and if somebody answers a question right, you log down a point to that team, and as their points grow, they continue to add points. The word logos also means calculation, meaning it adds up. He says, I desire fruit to your account, this log, this record that's being kept of the souls that you are responsible for. Fruit is souls that you're responsible for reaching. And I can tell you 100%, the best, most satisfying, wonderful feeling is when you get to spend time with somebody who had no idea if they're going to heaven or not. And you take the Bible and you show them from the Bible how God says clearly and easily how someone can be saved. And you take them and say, look, this is what God says. This is not me. This is not what people are making up. This is the Word of God. This is how easy it is. And you lay it out for them. And then at the end of it, when they see the truth of what God's word says about how easy it is to get to heaven. And then they bow their heads and they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when they look up at you and they say, thank you, no one's ever showed me that before. There is no better feeling in the world. Because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of jobs that have very satisfying, you know, jobs. A doctor, you know, daily can come home thinking, I saved a lot of lives today. I healed diseases today that were fatal. Or a fireman can come home and saying, I rescued a whole family today. Wow, that's a good feeling. Or, you know, policemen and rescuing people and saving lives. All these people have very satisfying, very fulfilling jobs. But none of it compares to us as Christians being able to take the Bible and saying, you know, this is what God says. Sin is going to send you to hell. But you don't have to be stuck there. Because Jesus came and died on the cross and paid for that sin. And if you receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross as payment for your sin, and trust Him and believe Him with your whole heart, and confess with your mouth that Jesus, that He is who He is, and that He rose again from the dead, you can be saved. When they bow their heads and they look up at you, and now their eternity is changed. That's so much better than, I saved a life today. You'd be like, well, I met a person today that was bound for hell for all eternity. Spent some time with them. And now for all eternity, they're going to heaven. They will never, ever fear hell again. That's fruit to your account. Man, when I was 11 years old, I was at youth camp, and the preacher got up and said that there were people who were going to die and go to hell because there was nobody to warn them. And so I went forward. I said, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll tell anybody about you. And I went home excited, and I went over to my friend's house, and I was like, guys, do you know for sure if you die today, you're going to heaven? And they said, no. And I was like, I don't know what to say from here. I had no idea. So I was like, come see my dad. So I bring my friends over to my dad, and my dad would take the Bible, and my dad would show them how they can get saved, and they would bow their heads, and they would pray, and they would get saved, and I'm like, this is it. This is the way it's supposed to be. You warn somebody about hell, and then they come, and they receive the truth of the gospel, and they get saved, and now they're going to heaven, and that's what I wanted for the rest of my life. That's what I've gotten to do for the rest of my life. It's just the most amazing, satisfying thing you can do. But here's the thing. Paul said, I desire that fruit to abound to your account. So the fruit that I reach, the people that I get to lead to the Lord, the people across the ocean that you'll never have a chance to reach, the people that we go and we reach, they're on your account. So when you look at that log of the people that you are responsible for reaching, you might think to yourself, well, how many people have I led to the Lord? And, you know, it could be who knows what kind of number. It could be 5. It could be 50. It could be 100. Who knows how many it is? If we're honest, most of us, it's in the 10s to 20s or lower. So you might think, oh, it's not as much as I would like for it to be. How many souls are you responsible for reaching? God, I mean, I wish I could do more. And we all would. All of us, rightfully so, would be like, you know, I wish I could reach more. And we can get inspired and we can get encouraged to go out and reach more people from here. But there's also, by your giving to missions, fruit around the world that is abounding to your account. And you know, I'm not talking about adding. Because, you know, when we sit here and we continue to add, the thing is that abounding isn't just adding. Because if you consider fruit, you know what fruit does? Fruit grows into another tree which produces more fruit. Fruit is supposed to bear more fruit. And so, let's look at it this way. Let's see. Can I get you two to help me out for just a second? Normally, I have teenagers do this, but we'll pick a young couple. Yeah. We'll go with both. Yeah, we'll go with the wife. Go with the wife. She's probably a better soul winner anyway. I'm kidding, sorry. So, let's say, for instance, that Pastor Merrick is representing Calvary Baptist Church and has sent me as a missionary. I come here and out on soul winning, we meet each other and we go through the Bible, and you guys get saved as a result of the gospel that was presented to you. And so now, the thing is that once you present the gospel to somebody and they get saved, you don't leave them. You don't be like, all right, there's another tick on my log, I'm good to go. No, you don't do that. You bring them back into church and you disciple them. You train them. You say, well, this is what the Bible says. This is what the next steps are. This is how you grow. And so they are basically babes in Christ. And so you're not going to leave them to themselves. You're going to help to train them and teach them. And so you go through and you teach them all the things in the Bible. And then pretty soon, one of the things that you get to is the fact that now that you're saved, you're not supposed to keep that to yourself. You're supposed to go and reach others as well. And so they go out. And now I want you to go out and put your hand on two people. And so you go out and put your hand on two people. Those are the people that you're going to reach. I send thee forth. At least go out into a further country, man. Because, I mean, you each just reach one. You're supposed to reach two. You're supposed to reach two. And you guys stand no chance in the far countries. I'm sorry. They're only reaching their neighbors. Oh, they're still allowed to be saved. All right, So now we had the two that I reached, right? And so that's two fruit to my account, but that's two fruit to your account because you support us. But then those people went out and they also reached others. And so now we're up to two and two more. So we're up to six. That's six to my account, six to Calvary Baptist Church's account. It abounds. It continued. Now, if they did the same thing that they were taught, then they were going to bring those four in, and those four would be trained, and those four would be disciples and taught, and then they would go out, and those four would continue to reach others. And this is the way it's supposed to work. And pretty soon, after a couple rounds of this, this entire auditorium, everybody would be reached. You guys can be seated. Because that's the way it's supposed to work. People are supposed to go out and get saved, and then you bring them in and you teach them and train them how to serve God on their own. And so they go out and they reach somebody else on their own. And pretty soon that fruit is abounding. It's the greatest pyramid scheme ever. It's not a scheme at all. You guys remember Avon? Anybody ever remember Avon? My mom sold Avon. And I remember the big thing was not about what you sold, but who you could recruit underneath you to sell. And so if you could get somebody underneath you and they sold stuff, then you got commission from what they sold. And if they recruited somebody and they sold stuff, you still got commission off of that. It's the same kind of concept. We get to reach people for Christ, and then whoever they reach, we're responsible for reaching them as well. That's fruit to our account that abounds. Has anybody here ever played fantasy football? Wow. This illustration never works. Why do I keep using it? All right. Let me teach you what fantasy football is. Okay? Fantasy football is football for those who can't play football. So you have most likely an app on your phone or on your computer or something, and you have your team that you have set up, and you're playing with other members in your family or at work, and you have other people that are playing this with you, okay? So you each start your own teams. Now, for players on your team, the players on your team are going to be actual football players that are playing in the NFL right now, Okay, so let's say I need a quarterback for my team. A quarterback is a person that throws the ball. You guys at least know football, right? You know what football is? I don't have to go this deep. All right, so you need a quarterback on your team. So let's just say, I would hate to do it, but let's say Patrick Mahomes is, you know, available. He's just too good. Some guys, it says, I wish they would lose every once in a while, but he always seems to win everything. So you pick Patrick Mahomes to be on your team, and now Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback for your team, which means anything that he does during the week, if he scores a touchdown that week, that's points on your team because you have him picked as your quarterback. And if he throws a lot of passes and he gets a lot of yards, then that adds up to more points. And so you even have a running back on your team, and if he scores, then that's points on your team. And so it doesn't have to be all from the same team. You can have a quarterback from Kansas City. You can have a running back from, you know, New York. You can have a wide receiver from San Francisco. You can have people from all over on your team. Now, here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes has no idea that he's my quarterback. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. He doesn't know who I am. But I really want him to do good this week, you know, because I want him to score a lot of points so that those points are beyond my team, so that my team will win this week. So now, since he is on my team and whatever he does gives points for my team, I am a little more invested into how well Patrick Mahomes does. So I'm watching and I'm like cheering on Patrick Mahomes, even though I'm a Bears fan. And so, I know. So I'm cheering on Patrick Mahomes and I'm now more invested into him or some of the other guys that I have on my team. Okay, so it's a horrible illustration, but this is the way it turns out for us. The missionaries that you support, okay, that you send money to each week. Pastor, how many missionaries supported by Calvary? About 40 different missionaries around the world. Each of them going out, reaching people for Christ, supported by you, and so that is a connection between you and them. So all the people that they reach this week is fruit to your account. You're responsible for it. So now that we have a little bit clearer idea, now that I know that I'm connected with them and whatever they do affects me, I'm a little more invested to be interested in how they're doing. See, I didn't care about Patrick Mahomes before, but now that he's on my team, I want to watch and see how he's doing. I want to know if he's injured. I want to know how well he does. So I'm paying attention to people that I never paid attention to before because now what they do affects my team. And now these missionaries, once you understand that these missionaries that you support are going out and reaching people and what they reach is on your account, maybe read their prayer letters. Be a little interested in what they're doing around the world because what they're doing is affecting you because you're connected. And the fruit that they get abounds to your account. And now that those people that got saved, once they get in, you're praying for them saying, oh, I hope that they get it. I hope that they come in, that they get faithful. I hope that maybe they'll go off and they'll start a church out of that church. And then that's going to just expound into more and more fruit that abounds to my account. I got to be a part of that. It's such an incredible opportunity. Now, see, here's the thing. I know that there are people here that have probably given to missions for years. And I hope you have. And so for you, this is just more of a get excited about what you're given. Because what you're giving, it's so much deeper than what you think. You're so much more invested. Their fruit abounds to your account. And it abounds, doesn't just grow and add to. Read the prayer letters. Maybe send them a message, be like, hey, brother, just let you know I'm praying for you. That's one of the best things. Because when we're over there for years, and sometimes it feels like nobody knows you're there. I mean, they send a check to your church. But it's the little messages where a brother says, hey, brother, just letting you know, I pray for you today in my devotions. You send back and say, thank you. your prayers are cherished. That's important to a missionary. Getting more involved in the missionaries you support because they're adding fruit to your account. There's also added benefits to giving to missions. In verse 18, Paul says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell." Your support, your giving to missions, your being a part of encouraging missionaries, it's a blessing to missionaries. And we can say, and I can say to this church especially, that we are full and very blessed by your faithful support. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being faithful and continuing to give and being a part of the mission, the work there on Guam. If you were there in Sunday school this morning, all the faces that you saw on that video, that's fruit on your account. Every single one of them. And we bring them out. We teach them to go out and reach others for Christ. And we've taken teens out and teens have gotten saved. And it's abounding fruit. Thank you for being a blessing to missionaries. He says, "I have all and abound, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God." There's a benefit of blessed missionaries and there's a benefit of a well-pleased God. Honestly, that should be motive enough. I mean, because it's human nature when somebody does something life-changing for you to want to repay them in some way. You know, if there's a teacher that has just, you know, influenced your life and you want to do something to pay them back, to repay them, to show them how important they were to you and how special they are to you. Or, you know, that's why we have Pastor's Appreciation Day or things like that, because we want to show the people that are important to us that we love them and we are thankful for them and we want to bless them in some way. It's human nature, right? What about a God that has saved you from hell? We'd want to please Him. Well, this is clear right here. Giving to missions is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. That should be motive in and of itself. We could just preach that and say, look, if you want to please God with your life, you'll give. You'll give to missions. But then, in verse 19, he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You guys have heard that verse before, right? I'm sure a lot of us have heard that verse. A lot of us have heard that verse all the time, especially when things are getting tough. You know, it's easy to bring that one up and we'll use it for people and be like, hey, it's okay. You know, the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And that's an encouraging verse. But do you understand where that verse comes? Who that verse is being spoken to? This is from Paul to the Philippians that have given and supported his ministry. Paul is telling them, "My God shall supply all your needs." There's a direct link between giving and God supplying your needs. You gave to my necessity. You sent once and again for me. And it wasn't because I desired a gift. It wasn't because I just wanted your stuff. It's because I told you what I needed so that you would have fruit that abounds to your account. So now that you have given, now that you are a part of our ministry, now all the fruit that we reach abounds to your account. And I'm just telling you, I'm full and abound, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. It's an odor of a sweet smell. And it's a sacrifice. It's acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But don't worry. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you're ever struggling, give. I mean, it's just, it does so many things. It has fruit that abounds to your account. It blesses missionaries. It pleases God. And God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So as long as it doesn't outweigh his riches, you're good. Of course, we know that it can't. So there is nothing that's too hard for God. There's no need you will ever have that will ever outweigh what he can do for you. I'm asking you, church, just to understand that your giving does so much more than you expected. You have fruit abounding to your account as a result of it. You have missionaries that are blessed and helped. You have a God that's well pleased, and your needs will be met. So if you're not giving this morning, it's a no-brainer. It really is. There's so much that you can benefit from by giving to missions and watching God work in your life and bless. But if you are giving, again, I just want to tell you thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for your faithfulness. And let's pray. Lord, I love you so much. God, I thank you for this church and for the blessing that they have been. Lord, I know that there's a possibility this morning that there are some here who have no idea what this is about. They have no idea what it's like to even know for sure they're on their way to heaven. They don't know what it's like to be a Christian as it is.